Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a subject that, well, let's be honest, often brings up some instant anxiety for a lot of people, mathematics. But we're looking at it through a really insightful and honestly surprisingly fun lens. So Timothy Gower's book, Mathematics, a very short introduction.
Yeah, and that introduction part is key, I think.
Yeah.
Because for so many of us, our experience with math is, you know, tied to maybe painful memories, rote learning, dry formulas, endless sums.
Right, exactly. The common idea is that math is just calculation, rules set in stone, like some kind of giant dusty rule book.
Pretty much, static knowledge. Okay. But our mission today, really, is to give you a kind of shortcut. A way to understand what mathematics is actually about.
Which is what? More than just numbers.
Way more. It's a profoundly human thing. Creative, even. And crucially, we want to pull out this one really powerful tool Gowers talks about a lot. The abstract method.
Okay, the abstract method.
Yeah, and show you how you can actually use it. Like, right away. Mm-hmm. To solve complex problems, whether that's in business, logistics, or even just thinking more clearly day to day.
So forget the old algebra textbook nightmares. We're aiming for a mindset here, a way of thinking that helps you cut through the noise, you know, find the basic structure underneath all the chaos.
Exactly. It's about simplifying complexity.
All right, let's start with the person who wrote this guide for us, Sir Timothy Gowers.
Right. So Gowers is, well, he's kind of uniquely placed to talk about this. He's not just someone writing about math. He's a top-tier mathematician himself.
Like, really top-tier.
Oh, yeah. Currently the Rouse Ball Professor at Cambridge.
Yeah.
And back in 1998, he got the Fields Medal, which is, you know, basically the Nobel Prize for Mathematics, the highest honor there is.
Okay, so he definitely knows his stuff. But what makes his book, this very short introduction, so different? Why is his perspective so valuable for, say, me?
Well, that's the interesting part, is how he uses that authority.
Yeah.
He's famous in the math world for his research, sure, but specifically for building bridges between different areas of math, like connecting functional analysis and combinatorics fields that seem pretty separate.
Ah, so he connects things.
Exactly. And that skill, that ability to build conceptual bridges, that's central to the book's message. Mm. He gives you a real insider's view. He gets the deep technical stuff, obviously, but he also really understands the psychological side.
The why people hate math side.
Pretty much, yeah. The confusion, the boredom, the feeling that it's just arbitrary rules. He gets why people switch off.
So the book isn't just explaining math, it's kind of demystifying it, breaking down those barriers.
That's a great way to put it. It's basically making a case that the power of mathematical thinking, the structural way of seeing things, is actually accessible if you just learn the right approach.
Okay, so that brings us to the core idea of the book then. What's the central thesis?
Well, Gowers basically argues that math isn't just this fixed collection of facts we have to memorize. It's actually a vibrant, creative discipline. It's driven by things like curiosity, intuition, and just this desire to find the underlying logical truth.
Okay, creative and driven by curiosity. That's not the math I remember from school. So if it's creative, how do mathematicians actually organize their thinking? Is that where the abstract method comes in?
Precisely. That's the core concept, the abstract method.
Right. What does that actually mean, though, in practice?
Think of it as the art of, like, radical simplification.
Yeah.
You take any problem, could be physics, could be a puzzle, could be sorting out your company's messy org chart, and you strip away everything irrelevant.
All the specific details.
Yeah, all the concrete stuff, the superficial details, until all you have left is its pure logical skeleton, the underlying structure.
Okay. That sounds powerful. A bit abstract, maybe. What's the real payoff of doing all that stripping away?
Ah, here's the magic. Once you've defined that abstract structure, that skeleton, you can potentially solve every single problem that shares that same structure, even if on the surface, they look completely different.
Wow. Okay.
Gowers really wants you to ditch the idea of math as just rigid calculation. Instead, see it as this kind of conceptual freedom. Huge leverage.
And he gives examples of this.
Oh, yeah. He starts with a brilliant one in the first chapter. Real aha moment. He draws this sharp line between the abstract structure and what he calls concrete models.
Concrete models versus abstract structure. Okay.
So he gives you two things that seem totally unrelated. On one side, you've got the kids' game, tic-tac-toe. You know, X's and O's on a 3x3 grid.
Yep, got it.
On the other side, he talks about a 3x3 magic square. That's where you arrange the numbers 1 through 9 so that every row column and diagonal adds up to the same number, which is 15.
Wait a second. Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
And this number square thing? You're saying they're mathematically the same.
Yeah.
One's a game, the other's like a number puzzle.
Because they are just two different concrete models. Two different ways of representing the exact same abstract structure.
Yeah.
Think about it. A winning move in tic-tac-toe, getting three in a line.
Yeah.
That corresponds perfectly to choosing three numbers in that magic square that add up to 15. The underlying logical pattern is identical.
Whoa. Okay, that is an aha moment. So the abstract method isn't about solving the game, it's about solving the pattern the game represents.
Exactly. And once you understand or prove something about that abstract pattern, you've suddenly solved potentially hundreds of other problems that just look different on the surface, but share that same core logic.
That really changes how you think about what math is.
It does. And this idea of abstraction, of peeling back layers, continues when he talks about something as basic as numbers. We use them every day, right?
Here's it.
But Gower shows how each new type of number system we invented came about because of a logical need.
Okay, like how? We start with counting numbers. 1, 2, 3. The natural numbers.
Right. But then why did we invent negative numbers? Think about a simple equation like x plus 5 equals 2. Using only positive whole numbers, you can't solve it.
Ah, right. You need negus 3.
Exactly. So mathematicians had to invent a new system, the integers, including negatives, just to make subtraction always possible. Then, same thing happened with division. You needed fractions, rational numbers, to solve things like 2x equals 1.
So it wasn't like they were just discovering rules that were already there. They were actively extending the system, building new tools based on logic.
That's the key. They're extending the conceptual space because the demand for logical consistency required it. And to really hammer this home, Gowers brings up modular arithmetic. You might know it as clock arithmetic.
Clock arithmetic, like 10 o'clock plus 5 hours is 3 o'clock.
Precisely. In normal math, 10 plus 5 equals 15. But on a clock phase, the numbers wrap around after 12. So 10 plus 5 becomes 3, modulo 12. By just changing that rule, defining this wraparound property, mathematicians create a whole new abstract system. But it's perfectly consistent within its own rules. It shows the creative freedom. If your starting points, your axioms, are consistent, the mathematical world you build for them is totally valid.
And that creative freedom really comes to the forefront when he talks about geometry, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Geometry is basically the study of what logically follows from a set of starting assumptions or axioms.
Like points, lines, angles.
Yeah.
The stuff Euclid laid out.
Exactly. For something like 2,000 years, Euclidean geometry was king. Based on these seemingly obvious axioms about points and lines, it described the physical world we see perfectly, or so it seemed.
Sounds pretty solid. Yeah. So what happens next? Did someone find a flaw?
Not a flaw, but something even more radical. This is where non-Euclidean geometry comes in, and it's revolutionary. For all that time, everyone just accepted Euclid's parallel postulate.
The one that says, through a point not on a given line, you can draw exactly one line parallel to the first one.
That's the one. It feels totally obvious.
All right.
But then mathematicians like Gauss, Lobachevsky, Bolyai, they did something audacious. They just asked, what if? What if that axiom isn't true?
Just changed it.
Just changed it. They said, okay, let's assume you can draw many parallel lines through that point. Or in another version, let's assume you can draw no parallel lines.
And what happened? Did math break?
Not at all. By changing that single starting assumption, they created entirely new, perfectly consistent, logically valid mathematical worlds.
Yeah.
Non-Euclidean geometries. It turned out Einstein later needed one of these to describe gravity and general relativity.
Wow. So that completely proves the point. Math isn't just describing reality. It's about exploring the consequences of any set of consistent rules you can imagine.
You got it. That's the creative power.
Okay. So if math involves this level of creation and choosing rules, how do mathematicians know anything for sure? That leads us to the last big pillar Gowers talks about, proof.
Right. Proof is the bedrock. It's what gives mathematics its unique certainty. A proof is a completely watertight logical argument. It shows that something must be true, given the starting axioms.
So it's different from science, which uses evidence and probability.
Very different. Science builds strong evidence, but math, with proof, aims for absolute logical certainty within its system. But Gowers emphasizes something else, too. Proof isn't just about verifying that something is true.
What else is it about?
It's primarily about understanding. A good proof explains why something is true. It reveals the logical connections, the structure linking the assumptions to the conclusion. That insight is often the real value.
Which brings up that tricky example he mentions, right? The four-color theorem.
Yeah, that's a fascinating philosophical point he raises. The theorem says any map can be colored with just four colors, so no adjacent countries share the same color. Simple idea, incredibly hard to prove.
And wasn't it the first major theorem proved using a computer?
It was. The proof involved checking thousands upon thousands of different map configurations, something no human could possibly do by hand in a lifetime. The computer verified it. It's considered proven, certain. But Gowers asked the question, if the proof is so monstrously long and complex that no single human can actually hold it all in their mind and follow every step, can we say we truly understand why the theorem is true? We have certainty, but do we have that deep understanding proof usually provides?
That's a really deep question. Machine certainty versus human understanding.
It is, and it perfectly sets up the key themes that run through the whole book.
Okay, let's pull those out. What's the first big theme?
Theme one is really challenging that old view.
Yeah.
It's mathematics as pattern recognition.
Not just computation.
Not just computation. Gowers echoes the physicist Eugene Wigner, who talked about the unreasonable effectiveness of math in describing the universe. Gowers says, well, it's not unreasonable. It's effective because the abstract method is designed to capture fundamental patterns that just happen to show up everywhere in physics, economics, biology.
So the reflection for you listening is maybe stop getting bogged down in the surface details of a problem you're facing. Look for the deeper pattern. What does this problem really resemble structurally?
Exactly. The second theme is the creative and exploratory nature of mathematics.
This is the part that feels really different from school math.
Totally. Gowers makes it clear. Real mathematical research is messy. It involves intuition, guesswork, trying things out, making conjectures, even having a sense of, like, aesthetic elegance. It requires imagination.
Which sounds a lot like innovation in any field, really. You need that intuitive leap, that guess, but then you also need the rigor, the proof, to see if the idea actually holds up.
Couldn't have said it better. And the third theme ties back to proof. Proof as understanding.
Right. Not just proof as verification.
The real value is often in the journey of constructing the proof. Figuring out why it works, seeing how the logical pieces connect, that process builds deep, durable understanding.
So the takeaway there is, when you solve a complex problem, don't just settle for the answer. Try to understand the underlying logical structure that guarantees that answer is correct. That's how you avoid making similar mistakes later.
Definitely. And Gowers crystallizes these ideas in some really memorable lines throughout the book.
Yeah, let's share a few. There's one that just completely reframes the whole subject. Mathematics is not about numbers, equations. It is about understanding.
That just shifts everything, doesn't it? From the tools, the numbers and equations, to the actual goal, which is understanding.
And then directly on the abstract method, he says something like, the mathematician's main goal is to solve problems, but a major part of that is to show that a problem is the same as another apparently different problem.
That's the tic-tac-toe lesson right there. Apply it everywhere. Find the underlying sameness.
He also gives this really elegant definition. Mathematics is the science of patterns, and the abstract method is the most powerful tool we have for discovering and understanding them. I like framing it as a science of patterns.
Me too. It makes it sound exploratory. And then there's that slightly paradoxical quote he uses, often linked to von Neumann. In mathematics, you never understand things, you just get used to them.
Huh. What does that mean? It sounds a bit discouraging.
Well, I think it points to the limits of our everyday intuition. When dealing with really abstract concepts, like infinity or higher dimensions, our gut feelings might fail us. So understanding, in those cases, means learning to trust the logical rules, to reason correctly with them, even if it feels weird. You get used to operating by those rules, and then the results become reliable and useful.
Okay, that makes sense. You learn to trust the method. So let's bring this right down to earth. How can you, listening right now, apply this abstract method, maybe starting today? Tip one, enhanced problem solving.
Right, so imagine you're facing a really complex challenge at work, reorganizing a team, maybe, or fixing a supply chain issue. Ask yourself, if I took out all the specific names, products, locations, what's the essential structure left?
Like, is it really a problem about resource allocation or maybe network flow?
Exactly. By abstracting it, you might realize, oh, this is structurally the same as a known problem in graph theory or something similar.
Mm.
Then you can borrow solutions that are already well understood instead of reinventing the wheel. It's the tic-tac-toe principle for business.
Okay, cool. Tip two, improved critical thinking and argumentation.
This was huge. Apply that mathematical demand for rigor to everyday conversations and arguments. If you're in a meeting discussing, say, company strategy, demand precise definitions.
No more buzzwords.
Try to avoid them, or at least define them. What does success actually mean for this project? What metrics define efficiency? When you insist on clear definitions, like a mathematician defining axioms, you instantly cut through so much waffle and expose hidden assumptions or logical gaps. It works wonders on political debates or media spin, too.
I can see that. And tip three, this one's inspired by that non-Euclidean geometry story, fostering innovation.
Yeah, this is about questioning the basics. In your job, your field, your industry, what are the fundamental assumptions, the axioms that everyone just takes for granted?
Like, we've always done it this way.
Exactly that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the belief that all employees must work from the office, your field's equivalent of the parallel postulate. Dare to ask the revolutionary question, what happens if we change this core rule? What new possibilities open up if we alter this one fundamental assumption? That kind of thinking is where true breakthroughs often come from.
That's a powerful challenge. For me, thinking back on the book, what I really loved, what surprised me, was how successfully Gowers reframes math. He takes it from something that causes anxiety and makes it a source of, well, wonder, intellectual excitement, seeing it as this creative, very human thing.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the lasting insight is that this mathematical thinking isn't some innate talent you're born with, like having a math brain. It's really a set of habits. Habits of mind, patience, logical rigor, the willingness to abstract that anyone can actually cultivate. And the abstract method is the absolute key. It's the tool for mastering complexity, not just in math, but anywhere.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.